Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes. He's still Augie. You know, we're looking for a replacement, but there ain't that many applicants. And we're going to start this week, of course, in Ukraine. Clown Show Ukraine, where Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner arrived to talk peace with the narco-fuhrer, the head of the crime syndicate there. Now, interestingly, if you compare the two realities when Witkoff and Kushner arrive in the Kremlin, very formal, very respectful, very detailed, and very relaxed. You see, Witkoff and Mr. Putin seem to be very, very friendly. Their body language is good. They have a good relationship. Then, forward we skip to Ukraine. Yes, Kiev, which is getting the crap knocked out of it generally since the 40 days of boomerang in the teeth have ended. Check out what happened when they arrived. No suit, no nothing. And it seemed like they'd even broken into the narco-fuhrer's reserve of Colombian talcum powder because he was particularly agitated. He was putting on a show, you know, Kiev regime, laughing while, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people are going under the ground, thousands every day. Really, really remarkable stuff. And a massive cringe fest. And, you know, we hear that back in Washington, the reports were that, just like Mr. Bessent said, this really is like Mr. Bean on crack. Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
I guess he's a special teacher.
This will get on the right hand.
For you.
For you.
Oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, you can be Kiev regime in gold.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as they were making jokes, as you see, about, you know, Kiev regime, the reality is that the walls are closing in on Mr. Zelensky. At the very, very top of the triangle, if you like, right at the top, you got Mr. Zelensky at the very, very top, right? Well, we believe, or whoever's controlling him, you know, answers on a postcard, please. But the prosecutor general, that's the most senior and important person in Kiev's litigation and legal system, right? It's absolutely remarkable. Guess what? He's just been arrested. He's under investigation. Remember Yermak, Mindich, you know, the head of the presidential's office, the deputy head. It just goes on and on and on and on. Absolutely remarkable. So how would you deal with this stuff, right? How would you do that? What do you suggest should be done? Well, the Ukrainians have a suggestion, which will be surprising to you, Augie. And that suggestion is, just don't talk about it. Yeah, say nothing. Yeah, it's probably all Russia's fault anyway. Yeah, for real. Run it, Augie.
Some news appears about a big corrupt official being caught. Does this improve the situation in the country or make it worse?
Not at all. Everyone knows perfectly well that they will let him go.
Let's imagine they don't let him go and that the case is seen through to the end. Let's say this. Someone was put in jail. Look, we are taking a specific situation, examining it in a vacuum, right? Some top official who stole a hell of a lot was put in jail.
Yes.
Is that good or bad?
Super.
On one hand, yes. For the system, obviously, yes. But others will use this, for example, to say, look, they have corruption. See how massive their corruption is, while in Russia, there isn't even that kind of corruption. And so, a situation arises where objectively this is great, but there will be those who will use our transparency against us. Why are you paying taxes? They get stolen anyway. So, perhaps a person wouldn't have paid taxes anyway, but now they have an excuse for themselves to legitimize their actions.
And of course, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, you know, people asking Augie and I, well, why are you so mean to poor old Ukraine? What have they done to deserve this? They're nasty Russians. You know, they've blown up everything in Kiev. You know, they're blowing up civilian infrastructure. Yeah, no, they're not. That's why this war's going on so long. They're not. That's why Kiev doesn't look like Gaza right now. But let's have a look at the average Ukrainian, right? Let's just have a look at what is hidden from everybody in the West by the Western media, which is an integral and, you know, central cog in the machine that peddles the bullshit that Ukraine is some virginal maiden, you know, skipping through the meadow. Never did any harm or any wrong in her whole life until the evil Russian bear turned up and started nibbling at her toes. Yeah, not exactly true. Run it, Augie. Now, we're not quite sure why that Hindu, you know, ancient Hindu symbol, was holding his hands up like that on the trolley, maybe to just make sure everybody around saw that he's a Nazi. But of course, remember this, the heroes who ran away from Kiev, right, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of millions of millions, who are about to be tracked down, by the way, in Germany and sent back to die in the East, yeah, with friends like this, who needs enemies, Mr. Mertz, yeah, the people abroad are also in on the act. They seem to be the bravest, right, Augie? The people sort of marching abroad, they're the toughest ones, the bravest ones. Always seems to be the way. Run the video, Augie.
Hang the Muscovite! Hang the Muscovite!
Hang the Muscovite! Glory to Ukraine!
And now glory to all the heroes!
So what's the narco-fuhrer himself actually doing? While his country is shrinking day by day, getting bombed day by day, 90% of the basic infrastructure, logistic infrastructure, destroyed by 10 days by the Russians, what's Zelensky doing? You guessed it. The narco-fuhrer-in-chief, the chief beggar, is off around Europe, begging for more money, more Patriot missiles. Dighten it, give it, I want it, I need it. Of course he does. You know, he's got used to probably $1 million every afternoon. He needs more. And he turned up at King Harald of Norway's funeral. There's a rumor that King Harald wasn't that fond of Zelensky. Remember the handshaking thing? Yeah, I don't think he got on too well. I don't think he would have appreciated Zelensky, the beggar-in-chief, turning up at his funeral to do what he does best, like we say, beg. And of course, we had to have some drama and a make-up story about a drone attacking Mr. Zelensky's plane. Yeah, of course, it had to happen. Those pesky Russians, they really wanted to be at the funeral of some ancient king of Norway. Yeah, run the video, Augie.
It is possible to both provide air defense for Ukraine, but also find an industrial solution where they can build air defense. Because they have, to put it in good Norwegian, a hole in the roof. It's pouring in. His plane was nearly hit by a drone when it was taking off from Moldova, so that is the reality he is facing, and he has to travel around and work to get that support.
Now, regarding this claim of Zelensky's plane being attacked by a Russian drone, right? Nearly attacked. You would imagine that means a drone literally coming past the window of the plane or hitting the wing of the plane, something like that, right? Or at least being in the airport, right? So we're going to give you a kind of kid's view. Okay, here we go. Check it out. Here's the article about what happened, but here's what actually happened, right? Zelensky's plane hadn't even left the airport. First problem, okay? It wasn't even in the air. It wasn't even close to going into the air when this drone turned up. Secondly, where did this drone, which we don't even know was Russian or Ukrainian or Romanian or who knows whose it was, where did it actually land? Here it is. It landed 163 kilometers away from where Mr. Zelensky's plane was, remember, on the ground. Okay. Thirdly, this was completely unmanufactured. This wasn't made up to try and find a reason to blame the Russians in some way. And it, of course, it isn't anything to do with the fact that Moldova is now best in class shoe polisher for the EU and NATO, as Ms. Sandu, who was, completely fairly elected, like in Romania, has nothing to do with it either. She is a completely balanced person doing everything that's right for the Moldovan people. Don't forget the Russians in Transnistria. Здравствуйте, друзья. Of course, you've got to remember, without the puppet masters, without the paymasters, now in Europe, used to be the US, remember US started it all back in 2014, even the post-war period, it was the Brits and the Americans kind of rattling the cage of the, Soviets trying to pull Ukraine away. And of course, in 2014, it was the Americans. They wrote the whole script, Newland, cookies, snipers. We know the story, but all the way along, Mr. Zelensky's handlers have changed somewhat. Now it's the Europeans. And those Europeans are in a lot of trouble domestically. And no one more so than Mr. Sanchez. Yes, dirty Sanchez, not like our friend Rick, who's as clean as a whistle. He's in a bit of trouble. Now, when you find yourself explaining yourself in terms like, I'm a dog with no master, yeah, you kind of know that the ducks are lining up, that maybe you're going to become a dog heading to the pound. Maybe no owner will be found and you'll be given the old lead sleeping pill. Who knows? Mr. Sanchez looks like he's in a bit of trouble. Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
Look, in all these years, your contribution to politics has only been hatred, insults, and xenophobia. Regarding the insults, Your Honor, you have called me an autocrat, a dictator, they called me a dog. They call me a dog. Yes, they call me a dog. Look, let me tell you one thing, Mr. Abascal. Unlike you, I may be a dog, but I have no master.
So, speaking of stray animals, they're known for biting people late at night. It's not safe to go out on the street. You know, sometimes they got to bring out the army to shoot them. And, you know, when you look at Europe, what's actually happening, particularly in a place like Ceuta, which is not Europe. Well, it is Europe, but it's not. It's North Africa. It was taken from the Moroccan. Anyway, you get the point. Things are going from bad to worse. And that is kind of demonstrated very well by what's actually happening in Germany, the industrial power base of Europe, the post-war success story, reunified. It's all going to be well. Yeah, not so much. Volkswagen are shutting down 4 plants. Bosch, all the big plants, Siemens, all the big names who made weapons for the Nazis during the Second World War. Oh, you know, we're not meant to mention that. They're all in trouble now because they cut off clean, reliable and very, very cheap Russian gas. Take it from the VW CEO who's got to eat some humble pie. Yeah, we hate to see it. We hate to see it. Yeah. Run the video, Oggy.
Now, I really have to say a word about Tesla. With all due respect, yes. There are world champions of announcements in this world. I'm not naming any names, you know. There are companies that struggle to sell 80,000 cars a year, Volkswagen 11 million in that year. Then there are companies like Volkswagen that generate a profit of 13, 14 billion euros per year. And if I am correctly informed, Tesla burns through a triple-digit million amount every quarter. Kicks employees out as they please, so social competence, I don't know where that is. So I really ask you to keep things in perspective and not compare apples and oranges.
Of course, the nirvana of the electric vehicle isn't really going that well either. Take Tesla, for example, you know, the big success story. Mr. Musk acting like there's nothing he can't do, even healing the crippled. Remember old Big Don posing as Jesus, the doctor, raising the dead from the beds? I think Elon's got a little bit of a head size problem. I think he might need to talk to somebody on a couch. Yeah, check this out. Raising the dead. I shit you not. Run the video, Oggy. Of course, that brings us very nicely into the new reality when it comes to Europe and electric vehicles. You'd imagine they were all American vehicles, European vehicles. No, they're not. They're all made by a Chinese company. Surprise, surprise. Biggest manufacturing economy on earth, a powerhouse. They're even making all of the green energy, solar panels, turbines and windmills so they can sell them to the West, who are so obsessed with this, which has destroyed their own economies, made them completely uncompetitive and really put China in first place. So while China is world beating and, building high speed railways, dragging tens of millions of people out of poverty, what's Europe doing? Yeah, putting little fiddly lids on bottles that can't drop off and carbon catching plants. Now, carbon catching plants, it sounds great. It's a great idea, right? It works, right? Maybe not. Maybe not so much. I shit you not. Run the video, Oggs.
So with this project, we reduce 800,000 tons annually. So that means 0.5% of the total Dutch greenhouse gas emissions.
Since 1990, Jaroslav Skill has cut emissions with approximately 3.4 million tons of CO2 equivalent per year, while in the meantime doubling output. Now we are taking the next step with our carbon capture storage project, or CCS. CCS is ready, scalable and safe.
Now, looks good, right? Sounds good. It cost a billion dollars to build, right? It costs $100 million a year to run, but it doesn't make anything. It doesn't save anything. It creates no revenue. It sounds like a perfect European business. Not content with ripping off the people with these fake environmental scams, you got to keep pushing them away from the traditional fabric of their lives. Now, nowhere is that more evident than in the good old UK, right? Where the rainbow flag has replaced the butcher's apron, the Union Jack, it seems. You got to fly it. If you don't fly it, you're a homophobe. If you don't like it, you're a racist. You know, forget it. You know, everybody knows the story here. But one of the most central and sacred places in British Christianity, if you like, particularly English, is St. Paul's. St. Paul's Cathedral, this iconic building that stood through thick and thin in London, through the Blitz, etc., etc. A really special place. And now it's become a very special needs place because there's a bunch of gay dudes in there partying on down to some rave music. Yeah, it seems that the more sensitive an idea and more sacred a place is, the more desperate they are to piss people off and trigger you. Yeah, I think that's what this is about. Run it, Augie. You got to ask yourself, what would happen if this happened in a mosque, in a synagogue, in a Hindu temple? There would be absolute uproar. Yeah, but you know, we're just Christians, you know, one of the oldest cultures on earth, you know, built Europe, yeah, held together societies, you know, it's not really that important. Yeah, yeah, crap anywhere you want. Yeah, seems to be the reality. And something else that seems to be the reality is that the Europeans are preparing themselves for a great conflict with Russia. The new government in Hungary has just expelled 10 Russian diplomats for some reason, obviously given their shopping list by Mama Ursula in Brussels, the new best in class. Yeah, and they seem to be preparing, as I say. Have a look at what's going on in Hungary. A grave digging championship, yes, a grave digging championship is taking place in Hungary. Now, don't laugh, because I reckon this might be happening for real all over Europe very soon if they get this war they want with Russia, because they're going to get their asses handed to them. Mm-hmm. Run it, Augie. I got that great plot. I got that great plot. I got that great plot. It's right off the highway. Wobbledy wobbledy drop into my grave plot. You afraid of death? Well, I'm afraid not, because I got the bomb spot right off the highway. I did it my way, a very small percent of the time way. I got my coffin picked out, styrofoam painted like wood tricked out. It's even got handles to lower me smooth, and my tombstone only has minimal typos. Great plot, I got that great plot. I got that great plot right next to my dad. Now, we like to end the show on a positive note, so we're going to go to Los Angeles in the good old USA. America's got a lot of problems right now. It always has done, but it always seems to pull it together. And one thing about the Americans is there is some freedom to express yourself in any way you see fit. Check out this homeless guy, you know, who's kind of making good from the bad and creating an opportunity where there wasn't one before. You know, maybe this is the new American dream. Could be. Run it, Augie. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Moscow Mules. Augie and I love making it. We love you guys interacting and letting us know what you think. Any ideas, feel free to get in touch once they're good ones and you think we're absolutely magnificent, which we are. It seems that the push towards war in Europe is like a pair of blinkers. There is no concept of peace. They laugh at Kushner and Witkoff, but at least those guys are trying. At least the Americans are trying to wind back some of the bullshit that put us in this place in the first place. But the Europeans, on the other hand, seem to have one thing on their mind, and it's war. And that war isn't one they're going to win. Riddle me this. How does that work out? Well, you don't have to worry about it because common sense and logic have never really had a place at the top of the political table when it comes to the EU or Europe, right? You know it. We'll be here, same time, same place next week to help you giggle along to the clown show. You know you love it. We'll see you then.